Myanmar. Director General of Saudi Arabia's Immigration visited Jakarta on April 21st, 2025 to assess Indonesia's preparedness for the upcoming Hajj season. His visit focused on evaluating the operational readiness of the Makkah Wrap Initiative, which streamlines immigration process for pilgrims at Indonesian airports before departure to Saudi Arabia. Al-Myanmar emphasized the kingdom's commitment to enhancing services for Hajj pilgrims worldwide, highlighting Indonesia's significance as the country with the largest Muslim population. On April 21st, 2025, coinciding with Kartini Day, the National Zakat Agency and the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection signed a memorandum of understanding to collaboratively enhance women's empowerment across Indonesia. Basis Chairman Nur Ahmad emphasized that empowering women is a strategic priority in poverty alleviation efforts, aiming to expand the social impact of zakat management. Minister Arifah Fauzi highlighting that this partnership exemplifies interagency synergy, reinforcing the commitment to address complex issues concerning women and children's rights through collective actions. And that was the news.
Happy listening.
listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, as we know that there are millions of Indonesian people stay abroad, and they live in the many different countries. And as Indonesian people who live and stay abroad, of course, they need information about what they have to do, the rules they have to know about living abroad, and then the most important thing is about how to protect themselves. So here in our studio today, we have the Director of the Protection of the Indonesian Citizen of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister, Bapak Yuda Nugraha. How are you, Pak Yuda?
Very good.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good, I'm good, Pak. Welcome to the studio of Voice of Indonesia, Pak.
Thank you very much. This is a good pleasure for me to join Bapak Nih discussing the most pertinent issue for our Foreign Minister is the protection of Indonesian national
purposes. Yes, Pak Yuda. Yeah, Pak Yuda, today here in the Radio Republic Indonesia building, Sari, that's it, artificial friend of the Indonesian Migrant Workers was launched and introduced to the public. So, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs together with the UN Women, of course, launched this artificial intelligence-based virtual assistance, Sari. So, Pak Yuda, can you explain to our listeners and viewers, what is Sari actually, and how important is this for Indonesian people abroad?
Yeah, so first of all, we just officially launched Sari, artificial friend for Indonesian migrant. So this is actually our response to the growing challenges of protection Indonesian migrant workers offices. First, I can give some figure about the magnitude of providing protection for Indonesian migrant workers offices. Last year, we handled more than 97,000 of cases, mostly coming from Indonesian migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is not only the number of cases is skyrocketing, but the complexity of the cases has become more challenging. So based on that background, there's no other way for us because we have limited resources in our Indonesian mission offices. Yes, we have more than 128 Indonesian mission offices, but they are all human. They have some limitation to provide protection. That's why, because of the number of cases and the complexity of the cases, it's growing very fast. There's no other way for us other than adopting the technology, especially information technology. And Ministry of Foreign Affairs has developed two digital platforms. First, we call it Peduli WNI. Can be accessed website www.peduliwni.kemlu.go.id. And the second platform is a mobile application. We call it Safe Travel Kemlu. Can be downloaded in App Store or Play Store. And then we put another feature in Safe Travel using artificial intelligence. We call it Sari. So this artificial intelligence is our response to these growing challenges in providing protection for Indonesian migrant workers. Basically, this feature, artificial intelligence, can respond to Indonesian migrant workers offices who seek information with empathy. That's the quality of this Sari is they can respond with empathy, not judging, and then they can provide information fastly and accurately. So that's one of the reasons why we developed Sari, and then how the Sari could help Indonesian migrant workers if they have
passing
problem offices.
Okay, Pak Yuda, just so you mentioned that there are 97 cases and they are very complex. So how complex is this, the problem that our migrant workers face abroad?
Yeah. So out of 97,000 cases we handled offices last year, majority of cases is immigration cases, mostly for Indonesian migrant workers living undocumented. And then secondly is labor cases, because that's quite understandable that because majority of Indonesian living offices is migrant workers.
Yes.
And then other cases like criminal cases, civil cases, or other cases like accident and so on. But I can share with you all that the number of cases, the majority of cases coming from immigration offense,
okay,
as well as labor cases.
Okay, Pak Yuda, you also mentioned that we have 128 missions abroad, right? So why do we still need this Sari, which belongs to Safe Travel and also Peduli Indonesia? Since I think, you say that the staff there, they're still human, yeah? But in terms of, just say, services, I think that the same artificial intelligence and human will be given while serving people, right?
Sure, that's most important. We developed Sari as an assistant, as a first responder for Indonesian living offices who seek information from us.
Okay.
Yeah. But of course, we are not designing Sari to replace human being, not to replace our staff in Indonesian mission offices, because they are the core of providing protection.
So,
why we developed Sari? Because, as I mentioned earlier, that the number of cases is growing. And then there are limitations in terms of human resources in our Indonesian mission.
Yes.
Let's say, if one day we receive maybe 100 reports of incident happening offices in one particular Indonesian mission, and there are only maybe two staff, so they have limitations to respond quickly. In other cases, maybe among these 100 cases, there are life-threatening cases that we need to handle quickly. This is the limitation, if we are only depend on human resources. So we develop Sari to assist us, to provide information for non-life-threatening situation, for information.
Yes.
For cases who facing life-threatening situation, then need quick response from human, then that's the whole of Indonesian mission.
Okay.
The staff, consular staff, in every Indonesian mission, we have a hotline number, which is operated by our consular staff.
Okay, just let's talk this more technically, Pak Yuda. We have a case like, I'm traveling abroad, and suddenly I lost my passport. So can the Sari answer my question, that just say that, where can I have a new passport so I can return to back to Jakarta, for example?
That's the most question asked to our Indonesian mission, actually.
Oh.
So there are many, so many cases that the Indonesian lost his passport, and how they can get a new travel document from our Indonesian mission. Yes, Sari can answer that question. So first, Sari can give empathy, because this is not only machine, this is artificial intelligence.
Okay.
They can show some empathy, I'm sorry to hear that. I can understand how difficult the situation when you lost your passport. And this is what you can do to provide new travel document from the MIAS, Indonesian Mission Office. Sari itself, we implant the geotagging location.
Okay.
So whenever, let's say, Pak Pani, I I lost my passport. Mm. Even without mentioning the location of your assistant when you lost passport. Mm. So he can automatically detect your location. Mm. And then we provide Papani with the nearest information in your location. Mm.
Really?
How could he be? I mean, the Sari can monitor or just say mention that I live in an area, just say in Hong Kong, for example. But, yeah, so how does this work? From my mobile phone or...
Because Sari is one special feature in our application, SafeTravel can do.
Mm-hmm.
And this application, we implement the geolocation tagging.
Yes.
So the application will automatically detect.
Okay.
Your location, and then when you ask Sari about how I can contact the nearest information, Sari will automatically guide you to the nearest information, which is our consulate in Hong Kong.
Okay, let's take another example, but this case is quite common, faced by our migrant co-workers in abroad. Let's say, my boss, for example, treat me rough.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to report this to the authority, local authority, or to the Indonesian mission. So could Sari answer this? So what do I have to do, for example? That's the question. Can Sari answer that question?
Yes, that's the one of the reasons we develop Sari, to respond to that kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I mentioned earlier, majority cases is immigration cases and labor cases.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever Indonesian citizen face some labor cases, then Sari will provide and guide the particular Indonesian citizen with some services
mm-hmm.
that can be provided by
To choose the one country or one city that for this program, we have to know the data of the Indonesian workers. So more Indonesian data, so it is better if we have this space for our program.
Mm-hmm.
So Sari will answer that.
Yes, in part Sari will answer that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the way Sari works is to access information from the government, ministry, and agencies.
Okay.
So if Papa may ask, how many Indonesian citizens living in Malaysia?
Yes.
Then Sari will access information either from us, from Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or from Ministry of Protection of Migrant Workers.
Okay. So now I understand that this information is not merely from the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry.
No, we also connected to other official information.
See.
But since you are asking how many Indonesian living overseas, I can assure you that there's no single answer for it because we rely on the Lapor Diri.
Yes.
So there's a register.
Mm.
So according to our law number 23 year 2006,
mm.
it is an obligation for all Indonesian citizens living more than 1 year overseas,
mm.
they have to report to the nearest Indonesian
agency.
So we based on that information. And I can share frankly that the willingness of Indonesian to report themselves
mm-hmm.
to the nearest Indonesian agency is quite low.
Mm.
So the number we provide for let's say if you ask me how many Indonesian living overseas, mm. I can share that according to our registration report, there are around 2.5 million Indonesian living overseas based on registration.
Yeah.
But if Papani ask me how many actual number mm-hmm. of Indonesian living offices, it's only that who knows.
yes, of course.
So that's why if you ask Sari, Sari will call the data mm-hmm. from official, and then official number is based on registration report. So this is how we also would like to share with all the audience about how to expect from Sari,
mm-hmm.
because we rely on official data from relevant ministry agencies.
Okay, Pak Yuda, I want to go test back a little bit on the data. 97 cases,
so 9,000.
Yeah, 97,000 cases, and I believe that the Indonesian Foreign Affairs from the Directorate of Protection of Indonesian Citizens working hard to minimize or to reduce this number. So what protection and prevention? I think prevention is better than protection. So what sort of prevention efforts have been done by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, especially the Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens?
That's right. I could not agree more to you, Pak Pani, but prevention is more important than mitigating.
Yes.
Because if we are only allocating our resources to solve the cases, and then we forget on how to prevent cases,
mm-hmm.
the new cases will come.
Yes.
I can show you the data of Indonesian facing death penalty offices.
Yeah.
So in 2023,
mm-hmm.
we have been successfully released 19 Indonesian national from death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But the new number, the new case for death penalty in the same year, is 25.
25.
Wow. So bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we always say to our stakeholders that yes, this is the role and the responsibility of the state and government to provide protection and solve the problem,
mm-hmm.
but we cannot only do that. We should cooperate together, collaborate on how to provide effective prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are talking about effective prevention, we should provide prevention from the Indonesia.
Yeah.
From the Indonesia. When we are talking about migration process,
mm-hmm.
there are three phases of migration. Before placement,
mm-hmm.
before going overseas,
yes.
during employment,
yes.
In offices, and after workers when they are returning their patient. So when we are talking about prevention, we should start with the first intervention from the friend before they are going overseas. And that's the role of providing accurate information to candidate of immigration migrant workers. Before they are doing migration, we should provide with accurate information about the job description, about the employment contract, about the immigration law, about the customs in the country of destination. So they are fully prepared before they are going overseas. That's the most important profession.
Now, we also get data from the UN Women, United Nations Women, that 80% of the immigration migrant workers are women. So is the issue of protecting immigration citizens also influenced by gender? So if so, so how does the Minister of Foreign Affairs handle this?
Correct, but majority of Indonesian migrant workers are coming from women.
Okay.
And that's why we need to create one public services, which is gender responsive. And that's why we create
SARI.
SARI actually dedicated for women migrant workers. That's why we collaborate with UN Women. So the important thing about SARI is SARI can give empathetic responses, not judging. When we are talking about women migrant workers, especially working in those domestic sectors, we are talking about vulnerable groups. And when we are dealing with vulnerable groups, we have to use special approach. We have to understand about their situation. We have to give them empathy.
Yes.
We cannot judge them about what they are facing overseas. That's what we call it responsive gender. And we design SARI to address this.
Yes. Empathy is important for SARI.
Yes.
We are talking as a man.
As a man, maybe. We are not quite sensitive about empathy.
Yes.
But when we are talking women, especially they are having problems, giving empathy is part of the solution. So this is my expression. When we are dealing with women migrant workers who have, let's say, sexual abuse, in our procedure, we cannot assign male staff to do the interview.
Yes.
Because there's some barrier for the victim to express himself.
Yes.
That's why we assign female staff to interview them. That's one of the responses gender. And because this is artificial intelligence, we can also show some empathy and respect. So, how we can create a safe space, a comfort zone for a victim to report themselves and to express what cases they are facing.
Okay, my last question is by Yuda. First, Indonesia plays its role as a second track diplomacy. We inform good things from Indonesia abroad. Then we inform everything about Indonesia for people who want to come to Indonesia, visiting Indonesia. So, as a media, so how important do you assess the role of media in disseminating this information on about protection and better if we have prevention for the Indonesian citizens while planning to go abroad and while we are away abroad? As you mentioned, there are before leaving, while staying, and returning back to Indonesia.
Yes.
So how important the role of media in disseminating this information to the people of Indonesia abroad and maybe foreign people who want to come to Indonesia?
Very important. Media play a pivotal role for disseminating information. We, the government, have limited capacity to reach our communities, be it in Indonesia as well as overseas. As I mentioned earlier, providing accurate information, easy access, affordable, accurate information is a key for prevention. And media have their own network to reach Indonesian people still in Indonesia and as well as Indonesian living overseas. That's why we need to collaborate. That's why I'm very happy that we can launch SARI in LA.
Yes.
So this is kind of a good collaboration between Ministry of Foreign Affairs and LA on how we can reach and educate and disseminate information to the broader audience, be it Indonesia as well as in
okay. Just for quick and short, Pak Yuda, that's the camera, your message to Indonesian people living abroad about this protection and prevention, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, this is a great pleasure for me and for Ministry of Foreign Affairs to join this Voice of Indonesia. This is the responsibility of the state and government to provide protection for all Indonesian living overseas. But for doing that, we cannot do it alone. We need assistance, we need cooperation and collaboration from all stakeholders, including media, AIE, and then you all, Indonesian living overseas. So the most important thing is how we can collaborate together to help other Indonesian, fellow Indonesian who face problem. And secondly, the most other important thing is how we can provide effective prevention. Yeah, start from the beginning in Indonesia until during their stay in overseas and then while they are returning to Indonesia. So again, this is a great pleasure for us and we look forward to working closely with you all.
Thank you, Pak Yuda.
Thank you.
Well, viewers and listeners of Voice of Indonesia, that's my very amazing, important, followable conversation with Pak Yuda Nugroho, the Director of Protection of the Indonesian Citizen of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta. And I hope that what we are going, the very followable information from Pak Yuda will make us living better abroad and safer abroad, like it is from said people. Yes, Pak Yuda. Once again, thank you very much, and I'm Dalla Pai. See you next time. Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
From Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasumi is generally shaped like a tumpang or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasumi. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then, grated cassava is put in a sack or cold to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is still white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kabete. Mama dogo mama, mama dogo. side fish, and solid fish. Kasumi is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kasumi is also often used as stocks for tips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kasumi can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and sweet bread of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Your messages through all of our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account, and VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, @VOI_official. We also have our email address, @VOI@voinews.id, and also WhatsApp number, +62 8212 3812 130.
river that divides the island. The view of the wet sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Phuket Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the center of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Phuket Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the nip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait.